from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Spadoni spared us. With giant highlights. Look, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm not the Giants won yesterday. And they should sweep the White Sox. They should sweep the White Sox. But I'm not going to lie to you. That game was so bad. It's so damn boring. And the Giants, when they didn't score with the bases loaded, no odds, what was that, third inning? I don't even remember. I started watching the Democratic National Convention, man.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't believe what the hell I was doing with myself. I'm going to admit that out loud.
I'm out.
I'm not going to tell you whether or not I thought the speeches were great or not. I'm not getting into that. That's not the point of the exercise. It's just the White Sox are that bad. The game was that boring. The stadium was that empty. That said, I need some alternative options. Hard Knocks, Democratic Convention, NCAA. Get us through this series, please. And oh, by the way, the most disappointing aspect of the training camp, Shasky, it's not Brandon Ayuk, it's not Trent Williams, it's the fact that Ricky Pearsall, the first round pick out of Florida, is more than likely not going to be ready for week one. And good morning to everybody out there.
You ever bought a lemon vehicle?
A lemon vehicle?
You know, like a lemon. You ever heard that term where you buy something that's not good?
Yeah.
You ever had a lemon?
Oh, yeah, I have.
So we had this Toyota Corolla that it was like a sedan version that we drove around forever. Yep. This is the family car. And it got, we're talking about major mileage. This thing must have had 250,000 miles on it back in the day. Mm-hmm. And it was just pieced together. It had problems. Transmissions, this, that, the other. And I remember my mom sold it for like $600 to some random family. And she said, once you drive this thing away, we're not responsible. Like, it's got problems. Right. We admitted it on the front end. They drove it away. 10 minutes later, they called my mom back, and they were like, yeah, it's broken down on the side of the road. And she was like, I told you, was you're literally just buying the body of the car. They bought a lemon. Niners just might have bought a lemon in Ricky Pearsall.
Well, I'm not going to go there quite yet. Not going to go there quite yet. Not quite yet.
The rest of the class looks great, though.
Yeah, it does look good. Does look good.
I mean, Isaac notwithstanding.
I mean, Isaac Garrido came back yesterday. They said he exploded on his first snap.
Well, let's stay healthy for two straight days.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But I'm not. It's too early to call bust or lemons or whatnot. But it is disappointing that Ricky Pearsall hasn't hit the practice field. It is very, very disappointing. But, you know, the White Sox, going back to them for a second here, because Pearsall not practicing. Hufanga's probably not going to be ready for week one. We got to get ready for the Jets, and we don't even know who's going to be in the lineup. The Giants lineup, look, they're two games over 500. Ramos is starting to come back around. He had a good day at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look, the White Sox are 30-97. They had three hits yesterday.
They're the equivalent of the 0-16 Detroit Lions.
Oh, they might be worse than them. Didn't Cleveland go a season without winning a game, too?
They went two seasons right. with one win. Yeah. I believe Hugh Jackson was 1-31.
1-32 or something like that. 1-31.
Heading into his third year.
He was awful.
Right?
He was awful.
I could be wrong, but I think the Browns
went through a season without winning a game. So, is this White Sox team? Because we're going to talk to somebody from Chicago a little bit later. By the way, Jin Lee Chan at 8:30. But Matt Spiegel, 670 to score in Chicago. And they're the flagship station of the Chicago White Sox. And I'm not sure how much White Sox baseball they're talking about. Or you can lean into it and just be like, this team is so terrible. And you could do like a tracker.
I started doing that a couple weeks ago on this show.
30-97. They're 67 games under 500.
They were eliminated on like August 10th.
Are we watching the worst professional team of our lifetime? We are.
The Charlotte Bobcats, when they first came out, were pretty bad.
This is bad. Like, you're not an expansion team. You've been around for over 100 years. 100 years. And you're 30-97 in today's day and age in baseball.
What about the 17-win Warriors?
They're not as bad as this. This is bad,
Bobby Sura.
I'm looking at this team, and look, Andrew Vaughn struck it out three times.
Poor guy.
Like, Robbie, look, I guess we can give credit to Robbie Ray for going six innings and striking out nine, but it's tough for me to pump my chest up and say, boy, Giants have won three in a row.
You know what the saddest part of last night watching sports was?
What's that?
Not the Giants game. It was me flipping around channels, and the Padre game popped up on my feed, and I watched Jerks and Profar, who anyone in baseball could have had for pennies, hit a ball down the line for a home run on a Tuesday night at San Diego, and I watched the crowd, and I listened to the crowd, and I said to myself, dear God, I remember when AT&T, a.k.a. Oracle, a.k.a. Pac Bell Park, felt like that on a Tuesday night.
Mm.
And everybody, all these Giant fan snobs online, all right? Yeah, you know exactly who you are. The same ones that cape up for, you know, platooning Austin Slater when he's actually not good anymore against lefties, even though Baltimore did that yesterday, batting him leadoff. The fans have rejected the Giants brand of baseball. And I look over at the Padres, and you can say, Joe, they haven't won anything.
No, I'm not going to say that.
You're right, they haven't won anything. But what they have done is captivated that market, and I'm watching how fans are on a Tuesday night as school is back. You see all the pictures online of all the friends and people you follow. All the kids are back in school. And a Tuesday night in San Diego, the 72-win Padre team ready to try to go after the Dodgers with 1 month to go.
Yep.
This team has that area, that region, in a fervor for Padre baseball. And I say to myself, look, they might not win a World Series, but what they've done in terms of building a team and drawing excitement, that's how you connect with the consumer.
Jerks for Profar once was a five-tool prospect. He was like, you know, when you think of Jackson Holliday, you think of some of these prospects who come up, Jackson Chirino with Milwaukee. That's who Jerks for Profar was coming up through the Texas Rangers system. And he just couldn't stay healthy, didn't have a position, and it just didn't work out for him. So he makes the All-Star game this season, and it's really one of the great stories in baseball. And you get this from time to time, or a guy who is forgotten about for the first five, six, 7 years of his career, and then he resurfaces, and he finds himself in that dugout with those players, and he's contributing to a winning atmosphere, a winning team, a team that's destined to make the playoffs again. Cool story for Jerks and Profar. Very cool story.
He was on the A's. He's been on the Padres. He was, I believe, sitting out there in free agency, and anyone could have had him. And it's,
I think he was with the Padres last year, right?
Yes, he was. Mistaken. He was, yes. Yep. And he's played second base. He's played right field. He's played left field. He's been all over the place, depending on availability. Now, they're how they've pieced their team together with, they signed Bogarts to be a shortstop, moved him to second. Like, they've done a lot of odd things. But the Profar thing, I mean, but again, when he's not the centerpiece of a lineup, look at how he can impact things.
Yeah, no doubt. He's legit.
Did you see the crowd?
Oh, I see it every day.
And then
day.
I looked at the crowd that the Giants had, and I said to myself, I long for the days where Tuesday nights there was energy in the building.
Well, you know, Love and I were going at it last week about the Padres. When he goes, well, they haven't won yet, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, dude, they got it going on.
That's what I'm
saying. Petco Park, the Gaslight District. And the great thing about that yard, and I underrated it because I thought it was overrated at first.
It's pretty cool.
But the great thing about it is, we, Anna and I stayed at a hotel a few years ago down in San Diego, downtown San Diego, and we just rented a scooter. You could ride the scooter down to Petco Park. And then you walk there to the outfield. There's the Hall of Fame. There's the Tony Gwynn statue. There's kids running around. It's just a really good atmosphere. And then when you leave the yard, you just pick up a scooter and scoot back up 4 or 5 blocks up the street to the hotel.
75 degrees at, 9 o'clock at night is
it's beautiful.
Pretty beautiful setting for baseball.
It is a beautiful setting. So where do the White Sox fall? Are they going to be the worst team in baseball? Now, the 1916 Philadelphia A's were 36-117.
Would they play 154 that year?
Yep. 117 plus 30 is 147 plus 6. That's 153, yeah.
Because I believe the 62 Mets was the team with 43 wins in the modern era.
No, the 62 Mets were 40-120. 40-120. The Washington Senators, 1904, 38-113. The Boston Braves in 1935, 38-115. So when you think about wins.
I remember that team.
1952, the Pirates, 42-112.
Wow.
The 2003 Tigers.
I'm a Pirate fan! You got to have more hope than that!
03 Tigers.
Give them to me.
43-119.
The 03 Tigers?
43-119.
Did they get Verlander out of that, though?
They may have got some players.
They might have.
Yeah. They might have. So that roster, that roster, I got to hold on, let me pull it up here.
Was it Ray Ordonez? That had to be too early. It's got to be too early.
Maglio Ordonez, you mean?
Maglio, excuse me. Well, there's two Ordonez. One was a shortstop, one was a right fielder.
For the New York Mets.
I meant the right fielder.
DH. Where is this roster? Okay.
Give it to me.
Hold on.
Alan Trammell had to be gone.
Because this is weaky here.
Oh, by the way, 04 draft, Justin Verlander, number 2 overall
pick. Number 2.
So they had...
Who had the number 1 overall pick?
Padres. Who was it, Sammy? Roster. Matt Bush.
How could I
forget? Matt Bush was the number 1 overall pick? Wow, hold on. I got to go to Tigers baseball records for this one. But that's the last time, this White Sox team, are they going to win 7 games again? Do they have 7 wins on their schedule? They're heavy underdogs this morning.
I love how heavy underdogs on this you are.
Huh?
I love how you are.
Well, this is the story. This is history. I'm telling you, when the Lions went 0-16.
It was history.
It was the last week of the regular season, and it had all these games with playoff implications, and I had Red Zone. And I was stuck on Lions and Packers saying, they're really going to go through a season. And they were close in that game. You have no idea. They was driving, and they were into it. And it may have been Dan Orlovsky who threw a pick 6. And the last 3 minutes of the camera panning on the Lions sideline as they're on the bench with Parkinson and looking down at their head saying, damn, we're going to go through a season without winning a game. A single game. This has got to be the equivalent if you're a White Sox fan. You got 30 wins, dog.
Well, I think it's worse than football because, in football, there's a lot of guys on the practice squad or whatever that are going to get elevated. Right. And, they're fighting for their NFL life. So you know that there's, a level of care, Not that these guys don't care for the White Sox. It's a long season. It's a long season. And I can understand being in the outfield and you got, what are they at, 30 wins you said right now?
30 wins.
And you're out in center field and you're down 4-1 and you're just sitting there going for who, for what? Ricky Waters.
I mean, for who, for what? For who, for what? So Brandon Inge was on that Tigers team. He was 26 years old.
Wow, Brandon Inge.
Carlos Pena, first baseman.
No way.
18 homers, 50 RBIs. Warren Morris. Ramon Santiago, shortstop. Remember him? Eric Munson, Craig Monroe. He actually hit 23 home runs.
Craig Monroe wasn't bad.
23 homers, 70 RBIs that year.
I think he was a Brewer after that.
How about our boy Dimitri Young?
Dimitri Young was sweet. He had great goatee, dye facial hair. And he got into some stuff in the minor leagues.
He was a hothead. Him and his brother.
He was a MVP baseball draft guy in the video game. I would draft late. Dimitri Young, number 21, I believe.
29 homers, 85 RBIs that year. for the Detroit Tigers. 29
like
years old.
Pedro Feliz year.
Dude, he had a great year. Shane Halter, Kevin Witt, Omar Infante.
Omar Infante was solid.
Andres Torres is a 25-year-old, played 59 games for that Tigers
team. No way.
Yes, this is
great. He told me he was going to hit a home run. I guess you guys don't know what I'm talking about.
A.J. Hinch.
Really?
A.J. Hinch. Cody Ross was on that team.
No way.
He played in six games for the Tigers as a 22-year-old. A.J. Hinch was 27. Ernie Young, D.H., played five games. Now they're pitching staff. So, but Jeremy Bonderman was on his team.
Oh, Bonderman.
He was 6-19 that season. Adam Bernero, 1-12, 26 years old. Gary Knotts, 3-8. Mike Maroth, 9-21. Nate Cornejo, 6-17. Yeah, they won 43 games.
So the 0-16 Lions, Orvlosky comes to mind. Who else was on that team?
Was Megatron on that team? Megatron couldn't have been on that team. He couldn't have been on that team.
I think they took Stafford the very next year, number one overall.
Megatron couldn't have been on that team.
Was Kitna on that team, or was he still on that?
Kitna may have been on that team. He may have been on that
Dante
team.
Dante Culpepper was.
Oh,
was he
Culpepper.
Really?
Drew Henson and Drew Stanton, too.
Wow, Drew Henson.
Yep.
Michigan Wolverine. Drew Henson was one of those high school.
Yes.
So,
yes.
They did have Calvin Johnson, by the way. Yep.
They did have Megatron. Mm-hmm. Drew Henson, Spadoni, was a guy who was a 3-4 star in high school, and we would get all these high school magazines, and he was supposed to be like the can't miss prospect. Like, this is the guy. Like, think of LeBron James and the Chosen One. Drew Henson may have not been on that level, but maybe a tier or two below that in terms of hype. When he was at Michigan, it was like, oh my God, Drew Henson. Couldn't play in front of Brady. You know what I'm saying? Did he end up being a Cowboy? He was like, eh.
I remember him on the Cowboys.
Cliff Averill also on that Lions team.
Cliff Averill,
wow.
Dan Campbell also on that
Lions
team.
No way.
He was backup tight end.
Is that the worst team in most people's minds ever?
I think so.
Not the Bucks of the 80s? Are we too old for that? Like, if I say the Tampa Bay Bucks of the 80s, you guys in the back, you guys are younger. Yucks. You have a good 10 years younger than us. Do you guys even acknowledge that?
I think the 0-16 Browns were worse with Hugh Jackson. That they had a parade in Cleveland because of how awful they were. You guys remember that?
Yeah,
they had
it's a parade? Cleveland, though.
Yeah. After the season?
Yeah, but I think we sleep on that, Joe. It is Cleveland, but it's his true. Stretch is like 1-32 or something, yeah. Isn't it? I know Mike Silver.
I mean, the Lions were 2-30 in a 2-year stretch. They were 2-30. They won two football games.
I contend that for us here, the Niners being as bad as they were with Tom Sula and Chip Kelly, though not the equivalent of 0-16 or 1-32, it's about as down bad as I can remember the 49er fan base at any point ever because of what that team represents to this region and because of the symbolism of moving out of the city, getting rid of Harbaugh, just the whole changing of everything, Jed and his... This is Q rating amongst everyone at that given time. The Niners were down bad.
So
bad.
Bad, bad. So look at this Lions-Packers game. Just looking at the box score. It was 14-14 going into the fourth quarter. 14-14 going into the fourth quarter. Packers kick a field goal. They kick a field goal. They go up 17-14. And then all hell broke loose. Oh, actually, it was 24-21 with about 7 minutes and 16 seconds left in that football game. Lions are down 3, 7 minutes left. And then Aaron Rodgers throws a 71-yard pass to Donald Driver, and they go up 31-21. And Orlovsky and company lose. He throws a 225. Kevin Smith ran for 92. I didn't watch a lot of those. I watched that last game, so I remember them being that bad. The Browns with Hugh Jackson were pretty bad.
Horrible.
Pretty bad. Is this easily the worst baseball team we've ever seen with the White Sox?
Well,
they're 30-97, folks. I mean, come on.
What's crazy is like we've said this about the A's, and then you look up middle of the year, and the A's got 3 or 4 guys. Like, man, you know what? Like, this next wave of guys. I mean, they're 3 years away from arbitration, but they look pretty good. Like, I'll give the A's that. I watch this White Sox team, and I know you like Luis Robert. He's okay. That's about it. Andrew Vaughn, the only reason we know Lee is because Santa Rosa.
Crochet probably today. Garrett Crochet.
Yeah, Crochet. Yeah, Crochet.
Crochet's not bad.
Can you name anyone on the 2000-2001 Warriors that went 17-65?
Can I name anyone? Bobby Sura had to be on one of those teams.
Yep.
Donald Foyle was definitely on one of those teams. Was Eric Dampier on that team?
Absolutely.
Who else was there? 17 wins. If Bobby Sur was there. Jay Rich wasn't there yet, right? He came in next year.
And next year, Jameson was.
Anton Jameson was there.
Sorry,
oh, my
God. I
didn't
just give you that. I just assumed you were going to go.
Anton Jameson was there.
Was that one of the Speedy Claxton years?
No, it was Mookie Blaylock year.
Mookie Blaylock was on that
team. One of my favorite video game players of all time. Chris Porter from Auburn, baby, with the afro.
Chris Porter, Auburn, with the dunks. He would dunk all the time.
Look
he would
at
dunk
you.
All the time. Yep, Chris Porter
Vinny
was good.
Vinny Del Negro, Vinny Bill Curley, Chucky Brown, Corey Blunt. What a team.
What a team.
And Von Tico.
I always liked Vinny Del Negro as a coach. He always did well with the Bulls or with the Clippers.
I kind of like Vinny Del Negro as a player.
I loved Vinny Del Negro as a player. He was a winner with the Spurs. And don't forget, Larry Hughes, baby, St. Louis.
Well, Steiny always talks about the walk-up crowd when they traded for Larry Hughes.
I was there.
It was one of the biggest walk-up crowds. Yeah, it was one of the biggest walk-up crowds in Warriors history. So, yeah, there's some pretty bad teams. 888-957-9570. What is the worst team you've ever witnessed? Worst team you've ever watched in your lifetime? Could be college. Could be pro. Could be high school. What is the worst team? I played on a bad Pop Warner team one year. My last year at Pop Warner, we were 1-7. We won one game. It was a miserable season.
What about that Kai Bowman year when Steph Curry broke his arm?
Wasn't bad. Well, it was kind of fun. Got to have fun with the badness, with the sloppiness.
They were horrible.
It was not good. All right, we got a break, guys. We're going crazy. We got a break. More coming up. We got some nuggets here to reveal on the other side. Plus, we're qualifying somebody for some breakfast. Two people today, and we'll have details on that on the other side. Brought to you by Save Mart, Lucky California.
Roll up in the club. All eyes on me.
What up? This is Big Pump from South City. You are now listening to The Morning Buck and Rose with my boys Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
I think you got it twisted. You don't know who to trust. So many player hating, trying to sound like us. Say they ready for the funk, but I don't think they know it. Straight to the depths of hell is where them cowards going. Well, are you still down? Follow when you see me.
You feel
and let the devil suck for the day they finally freed me. I got a caravan and
worst teams in pro sports history. Pac, man. He ages so well. I've been playing a lot of Pac lately. You know, Tupac was... I played so much Tupac growing up.
Me too.
That I had to give it a break.
I'm with you.
I gave it like a 5 to 10 year break. Like, literally, like, just... I would play songs here and there, but I just had to give it a break.
Which one is your favorite album? Which of the 50 Machiavellis that came out after
his death? All Eyes on Me. Like that,
The double disc.
That album, that was the one.
Blind stares of a million eyes. Looking hard, but won't realize.
But Machiavelli was also hard, too. Machiavelli was...
Shook Shot Me.
I mean, Machiavelli was...
Do you even understand that reference?
Nah, at the beginning of the album...
At the beginning, when you turn it up all the way.
Shook Shot Me.
Yeah, it's what it sounds like.
That was a conspiracy theory. Like he said, Shook Shot Him. And the album was just from front to back. It's just hard. I had the cassette tape, so it was like
first flipping one over. God,
I mean,
so good.
That whole album. Then he had Tupac and the Outlaws. That was really good. Then he had this...
Teardrops and Closed Caskets?
Yeah, Teardrops and Closed Caskets. There's another album I've been playing recently with Until the End of Time.
Oh, that's a classic.
That's a classic album.
It's got
as well.
A lot of really good beats on there.
Yep, a lot of good beats.
Jazzy Faye did some stuff on that.
Yeah, that album was pretty good. I was actually recently playing it, so that was a good one.
Yeah, I've got I gave him 10 songs, an eclectic list.
Even though you're only supposed to give him 5.
Well, that's how I do it, you know?
We just don't have 10 rejoins. Otherwise, I would love to do all of them.
On the way out the door, we play some.
Sure.
You know? I have a nomination for what I believe to be one of the worst teams that I've ever seen in my entire life.
What team is that?
If I say the name Buddy Tevens and Walt Harris, what do you think of?
Oh, my God. Buddy Tevens, Walt Harris? Walt Harris.
The white Walt Harris.
Yeah.
Not the cornerback who played for the Niners.
Okay, so we're talking baseball then.
No, we're talking Stanford football 2005, 2006.
Oh, my gosh. Walt Harris from Pittsburgh. The head coach who was at Pitt. Did he go to UC Davis after or something like that?
So what happened was, is I believe, and this is off the top of my head, and I did a little bit of research at the break. I remember when they lost to UC Davis. And
yeah,
that
they
was
lost
like,
to UC Davis.
That was the signaling. It was the freeway series, whatever they call it. That was the signaling of, oh my God, could Stanford football get dropped from Division I? Should they be relegated out of the Pac-12, which at the time was the Pac-10? And then they hired Walt Harris in 06 and went 1-11. 1-11.
They were bad. They were really bad.
They were so bad. They were Can you name any players?
I can't name one player.
I'm going to give you a couple names.
I can't name one player on that team.
T.C. Ostrander. Trent Edwards, Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, Trent Edwards from he played at Los Gatos High School. Los Gatos High School.
Toby Gerhart.
Was he on that team?
On that team. Wow. Anthony Kimball. I mean, just some of these names. A young Richard Sherman playing wide receiver and running back.
Yeah. Was Tank wasn't on that team, right? Tank Williams? He wasn't on that team.
I don't see him
Former Tennessee Titan.
That team, I honest to God believe that the Stanford Cardinal, and I know that's not going to be in people's number one. I believe that that 05 into 06 Stanford Cardinal program was as bad as any pro. I truly believe City College of San Francisco would have smashed
them. Yeah, they would have smashed them.
Not just beat them.
They would have smashed
them. They lost to UC Davis.
Yeah. Didn't Cal almost use UCLA? Because I want to look up Cal Berkeley.
Because sorry, I kind of beat you to the punch there. I'm looking at the 01 Cal team that went 1-10.
Yes.
That's before Tedford?
I think that's the next year Jeff Tedford came in and had such legends like Kyle Bowler.
Well, Mooch left them in the middle of, he was 6-6.
He was 6-6, and he left after the Aloha Bowl.
To go to the Niners in 96, 97.
They lost the Aloha Bowl to Navy.
Yes.
In Hawaii. Then he got the Niner job like a couple days later. It's like, he went 6-6.
Well, it was very Cliff Kingsbury-ish.
Yeah. But Mooch was a lot better.
I love how you always defend him.
No, he was good with the night. He was okay. He got a lot of heat.
Cal's only win that year was against Rutgers at the end of the year. That game was rescheduled. It was supposed to take place the week of 9/11, but obviously they had to reschedule all those games.
Wasn't that game at Rutgers, too?
Yeah, it was at Rutgers.
It was at Rutgers.
It was rescheduled on the Friday after Thanksgiving. That was the only win they got that year.
It is crazy how there was a period of football for about 15 straight years. Once Tedford showed up, Cal was pumping out NFL players, and Stanford, once Harbaugh showed up, and you got to give David Shaw a lot of credit
too.
You know, they were pumping out NFL players, not just a couple. I mean, everywhere you look, there were offensive linemen from Stanford. There were defensive players left and right. You look at Cal.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Cal had a who's who of not just good, elite NFL players.
Well, you look at those David Shaw Stanford teams, it was always just that one loss because everyone basically agreed, like, this is the most physical Pac-12 team that could definitely go toe-to-toe with any SEC team.
Tyler Gaffney one year, they played Oregon. They played Oregon on Thursday Night Football. They came in as the number one team. Marcus Mariota had a knee injury.
He had
45 carries in that football game.
No way.
45 carries in a game. That's crazy. So that... That oh my God, I'm looking at this Cal team. Tom Homo was a coach.
Tom Homo?
Yeah, former Niner. Remember him? Long time Tom
and
Homo.
And he was also a Green Bay assistant, yep, I believe, for a minute.
BYU. Kyle Bowler. Kyle Bowler was a
Kyle Bowler.
He
could sit on one knee and throw the ball 80 yards.
Oh, he was so
Kyle
bad.
Kyle Bowler. You know what's funny is I had his Marshall's jersey because he wore number 8. And by the time Aaron Rodgers got to Cal and got that, I went and got one of those like $20 Marshall's jerseys. But it wasn't Aaron Rodgers. It was actually Kyle Bowler. But they didn't have the names on the
back. They didn't have the names. Dude, Burrell Toler was on that team. Shout out Burrell Toler.
I always hate when
official.
I look at guys like that, Kyle Bowler, and you name search him. I was like, why are they always in Raider jerseys? Why?
He was a Raider?
For a year.
Nambi Ashimawa was on that team.
Yeah, Nambi was sick.
Nambi was on that team?
Nambi was on that 01 team.
Nambi was sick. After that, he stunk.
Nambi was on that team. Worst Raider team of your lifetime, Spadone?
I mean, probably, what, 06, right? When they got the number 1 overall pick? Like heading into that because they got Jamarcus that
2
year.
2-14.
That's the last time they drafted a quarterback in the first round. We were talking
about yesterday. Andrew Walter, Arizona State. Yep.
Oh yeah,
Aaron Brooks went 0-8 in that game.
I actually like Aaron Brooks.
I do too. Ronald Curry? Drew Hinton was a high school phenom.
North Carolina,
North Carolina.
Was Hooper too, right?
Yeah, Hooper, football player. He was supposed to be that guy. He was a quarterback, and then obviously moved to wide receiver. Lamont Jordan was on that team. Zach Crockett, Justin Fargas.
Hey, Zach Crockett, 4th-and-1 in Madden, undefeated.
It was.
You cannot stop him.
It was.
Randy,
good call.
Randy Moss was on that team.
Randy.
Played 13 games, 42 receptions. Yeah, he was cooked.
Oh, yeah, I remember they traded him to New England, and I always tell the story that fantasy draft that next season. It was an auto draft pick for some reason, and I got Randy Moss with the Patriots, and I shut the draft down. I was like, no, I don't want Moss. Like, it was the
best fourth-round draft pick trade ever.
Yeah, I mean, your boy was happy after that.
I remember that first weekend, everyone was like, oh, dear God.
Oh, yeah, against the Jets.
Oh, my God.
Scored 3 touchdowns.
This might be the greatest wide receiver season ever.
Oh, my God. And then he wore his welcome out immediately.
Well, he ran a post route against the Jets in like 3 dudes.
Hey.
And I smoked them all. That was Spygate. And Brady threw a dime, and it was like, Randy Moss had 3 touchdowns.
I'll never forget when T.O. was on the Niners, I would sit there watching the games with my grandfather, and he would say, look at the safeties. Look how they have to, they're all hovering over to T.O. And then when T.O. left the Niners, like, it was one-on-one on the outside, safeties in the box. We are not scared of anyone. Yeah. And this is all during the Harbaugh era, especially during Alex Smith's run. The second they got Randy Moss in 2012, every team's safety was like, even he was like 40 at the time. Every safety was like, I gotta shade over here to Randy Moss.
Doubt.
The fear of Randy Moss at 40 years old was still there.
Well, you better get Ayuk in a cap because we may see a lot. We may see 9 in the box this year, considering who's playing wide receiver.
If he's a receiver,
he will. I don't think Trent Taylor will be on this football team. I'm not going to get outraged
Can
about
Nick
Trent
Bosa
Taylor.
Drop back in coverage against
gosh.
Trent Taylor.
By the way, have breakfast with the roast. All this week, we're giving you a chance to come in and have breakfast with the roast. Friday, September 6th, to kick off football season with us. Listen all week between 7:30 and 8 o'clock. We have 6 spots remaining for this breakfast. And each, whenever you hear the sounder, air horns, be the 10th caller, and you win a spot for breakfast with the roast. Breakfast provided by our good friends at Jack's Restaurant. Should be a lot of fun there. Coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. We'll continue to roll on our worst teams that we've ever seen in our lifetime. Worst teams ever. Who's the worst team you baseball, football, basketball, worst team you ever seen in your lifetime? There's some bad Sixer teams out there. Some bad Sixer teams.
Trust the process.
I've got a CYO team I'm going to nominate.
There's some Pop Warner teams. There's a lot of high school teams. What's the worst team you ever seen or played on? That's coming up here. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll do that coming up on the other side.
I'm sitting in the railway station, got a ticket for
Banger.
My destination.
All right. Check this out. This is Sean Leonzo Moe, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, The Morning Rose with Fontaine and Shaq.
One night stands, my suitcase and guitar in hand, and every stop is neatly
planned. I have no idea what this is.
And a one man.
Yo, you gotta play it. It's the best part.
Home
just the Beatles.
No. I wish I was home.
Garfunkel?
Yes.
Home, where my thoughts escape in home.
This is on your playlist, top five?
This is a banger, dude. You gotta have
top
depth.
Five?
Homeward Bound. This is I'm driving solo in the car, thinking about life, thinking about family.
Sounds like you think about other things.
Well, it's about the grind of life.
Sounds depressing.
You don't have songs that you play when you like.
Oh yeah, I definitely do.
You didn't like that song, Spadoni? Usually you have some character to you.
No, I like. Who said I didn't like it?
You
fine.
Smiled like you didn't like it.
No, I like it. It was just funny going from Tupac to that. But
I know.
That's
the versatility.
I get to pick and choose. No, I just thought about the movie. Remember the movie Homeward Bound with like the dogs and stuff like that? That's just what I thought about.
So Simon and Garfunkel, that was actually used in this television show that was on HBO. And I had already knew, because I'm a big Simon and Garfunkel fan, and that song was him trying to get back to his normal life. And it was really good. It's deep. It's very deep.
I'm looking at some quotes here. Yeah, and I don't know if that was your best selection, Shasky, but
that's okay.
All right, I'll listen to it. I'm not mad at it. Yeah, to each their own. I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it at all. 415, Xfinity Mobile text line. New York Mets, when Casey Stengel was their manager.
62.
Some quotes from him about his Mets. You look up and down the bench, and you have to say to yourself, can anybody here play this game? There comes a time in every man's life, and I've had plenty of them. The only thing worse than a Mets game is a Mets doubleheader.
And the great Roger Craig lost 20 games on that team.
He did lose 20 games on that team. By the way, join 95.7 The Game at Hardy Park Friday, September 6th for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament benefiting the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 95.7thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ACCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. It's some bad teams. We're going to get to Walking Back Wednesday in just a second. Walking Back Wednesday, we'll introduce this next segment. Don't forget, Baldy all day tomorrow, Thursday, all 4 hours. Baldy will be live in studio. You don't want to miss that, as the segment is sponsored by Golden State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Real quick, let's get to Skills of Vallejo about the worst team ever. What's up, Skills?
Hey, good morning, Bonte. Good morning, Joe. Good to be on with you.
Good morning.
Yeah, I gave it some thought, and now I think about it, I think the worst teams I've probably seen would be the 2011 through the 2013 Houston Astros, and you got to remember that they were in the World Series as recently as 05, and then they tried to build around guys like Carlos Lee and guys like Tejada later on around Lance Berkman. It didn't work, so just tore down to the studs, moved to the American League, couldn't win anything. I remember they would lose to the A's in some of the most horrific fashion that I've ever seen. It was bad. And for three straight years, they lost over 100 games. They had literally nothing except a young Altuve and maybe a couple other guys. I think Keuchel was on one of those teams coming up as a youngster. And then eventually they were able to turn it around. But yeah, that's my contribution to the worst teams I've ever seen.
Wow. Those early 0-0 teams, they brought in all the old guys. Remember, it was like Roger Clemens and Pettit, Jeff Kent, Lance Berkman was there. They had a really fun team. He referenced Beltran.
Yep.
That team was fun.
No, they had a lot of good teams. They had a lot of good momentum going on in Houston. And they, you know what? Credit to them. They bottomed out. And now they've been on this decade-long run. And they're still humming right now. They're still humming right now.
I was talking about that this morning. I was looking at all the contenders in the AL. Yeah. I'm taking Houston over in any series. I'm taking them over the Yankees.
Yeah.
I'm taking them over the Cleveland. I'm taking them over every single team right now. I know. Like, there's something to be said about them just sticking around. Kind of like the Chiefs last year. Yep. You had your opportunity to not have them win the division. The Mariners, you had your opportunity. Rangers coming off a World Series, and now they're going to win it, and they're probably going to be favored in a lot of these series.
Yeah, Rangers probably the most disappointing team for me in the American League. I thought they'd come back strong. Injuries have kind of derailed them a little bit. World Series hangover is possible, but they're playing with house money. They got their World Series. They can this year for them is just it's house money. But the Astros, and it takes me back to Mike Francesa, was it last year or maybe 2 years ago? He had this little podcast after Yankee games, and he just riffed for like 15 minutes. The Astros owned us. They owned us. They owned real estate. And now I'm thinking, boy, if the Yankees have to play the Astros again. The pressure. Because I don't think the Orioles, that pressure. You're kind of onto something, Spadone. The Astros ain't winking to the World Series.
Don't count them out.
I wouldn't count them. Hell no, I wouldn't count them out.
No.
I am pulling for the Guardians. So, if, would that be something if Cleveland?
It would be cool.
If Stephen Vogt in his first year won a World Series.
I know. Kai Correa's on that staff, I believe, somewhere.
Kai Correa's on the Guardians staff?
Yeah, I believe he's on that staff.
I wanted Stephen Vogt to be the Giants manager. Damn
you
it.
Did. You were on that.
Man, damn it. Minnesota, by the way, 70-56, the Twins. Don't sleep on them.
Minnesota!
Let's see.
Carlos Correa, though.
Yeah, I was just about to check out here. What is Carlos Correa doing?
I bet he's playing.
What is Carlos Correa doing?
Yeah, but get back to us in a couple years, guys. He might not be that good.
Exactly. Just don't even.
Wait, he's not even on this roster. What the hell? Is he hurt right now? Tell us what's going on here.
Yeah, he's on the 10-day IL.
10-day IL.
He's already
batting 308 this year. Yeah, he's got 51 runs, 47 RBIs, 13 jacks, OPS 896.
Yeah, he'd be pretty good on the Giants. So you're talking about the worst teams and whatnot. And this is, you've talked about certain Pop Warner teams you played for. I've been coaching a long time. And I don't know, however long ago, St. Cecilia's, they've got, you know, an A team and a B team and a C team, and a D, depending on how many boys or girls are in every single class. Yeah. And when you're one of the lower teams, there's nothing worse than being called the D team. Right. And so I would be like, we're St. Cecilia's gold. You know, I would change it up. You know, that way I don't want these kids thinking that they're like they're lesser than, because honestly, CYO is not made for the top tier kids. It's made for the kids that are like that. Right. Aren't as good, and you want them to have a good experience in sports so that they like sports. Nothing is worse than when a child has a horrible sporting experience and they don't ever want to go back, and sure. they end up hating the sport, or they're hating the coach, or they don't see enough success and they don't find it fun. Like, that's not the point of CYO sports. And so I got asked to coach my nephew Nate, who's now a senior, started his first day at Sacred Heart, and this team was so bad we didn't win a game for a full 3 years. And when I say it wasn't close. We would lose by 30 and 40 points. Now, granted, they're 24-minute games.
Damn.
We would lose every single week. And every year, I'd go to CYO, and I'd go to Pete Francesca. I'd say, Pete, you got to get us in a lower division. These are kids that are like fringe. They're never going to play basketball. And I'm not trying to rip these kids, but they're all talented in different things. My nephew's a great cross-country runner, but he's not a good basketball player, okay? I go, these kids have to have a good experience. Let them win a game, for crying out loud. Let them win a game. And I would beg CYO to drop them down. Well, finally, eighth grade year, they dropped them down. We went 4-4. We snuck into the playoffs. We knocked off the number one team. This is their eighth grade year. We won the championship. Parents were crying.
Oh, my God.
And you know what? That's what sports is about. This team that lost three, they literally didn't win a game for three straight years. And when I say it wasn't close, it wasn't close. And for them to have an opportunity, forget the championship, like, that was really cool. And all the kids from the upper level teams all showed up to support them, because they were the only team that won. Oh, it was great for the parents.
I can't get over the... Parents were crying, and now I'm envisioning them winning the trophies, and they're sobbing.
Well, you gotta think about this. Some of these kids weren't going to play in high school, whatever sport, right? So this might be the last sport that they play, you know? And like, it does matter to them. Look, getting a trophy or a ribbon, I'm not saying you got to win everything, but it's got to balance out. You can't lose year after year after year after year. Like, you got to build some positive memories.
Whoa. You know, there's always those Pop Warner teams. Like, I remember Central San Rafael. Their program was not that good. Every year we played them, man, they were like, yeah, we'll be 1-7 this year. We'll be 0-8.
So they were that team on Alabama's schedule? Yeah. Christian Baptist, whatever?
Right, they were that. They
Bob
were that.
Bob Sedona would always call them Turkey Tech University.
Turkey Tech University.
I love that. No, but like, on the real, young Benny's going to get into sports, and your daughter's going to get into sports at some
point.
Maybe,
I don't know.
And this is the way I view it. If you win every game, what are you learning? If you lose every game, what are you learning? You want to win some, you want to lose some.
No, when you're winning, you learn a lot. I mean, Coach Shasky, though, I got to come down your road. You couldn't get one win in 3 years?
Ponte, we would lose in the layup line.
So you're throwing your players under the bus? Can't run some box at one?
Look.
Some triangle in two?
Look at Monte, I don't know if you know this. One player on a basketball court who can dribble, like, and it does make a difference. And you'll find that, again, you will find this out as you go through sports, and you'll figure it out. And look, I love these boys. I tell them to. It's one of my favorite coaching moments of all time. I had a kid in, whatever, fifth grade. He didn't make contact all year. Okay, this is going back, I don't know, 10 years ago. He didn't make contact all year. He got a big base hit in the championship game. And yeah, his mom was like literally crying because the kid struck out every single at bat all year, and he knocked in one of the game winning runs in a championship game.
That's awesome.
Those things matter. That's what sports is about at the youth level. Not winning championships and dominating everyone and stepping on their throats. You gotta take a step back, dude.
Depends who you ask.
That's true.
Some people don't handle losing.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.